of heights to the depths of the sea.
But notice verse 10, then when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and she destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. And again, this seems to be a common practice for evil people. And she reigned from 841 to 835 BC, a total of 7 years. But really what this was a satanic plot to destroy the line of Judah, and was almost successful.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher Rob Kellogg. Today, Pastor Rob begins teaching through chapter 22 of 2 Chronicles, and we learn about the evil reigns of Ahaziah and Athaliah and how brief their reigns were. The scripture today says, when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she used this occasion of her son's death to take power for herself, and she reigned over the land for 6 years. We remember that Athaliah was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel and was given to Jehoram, king of Judah, as a bride. She was a bad influence on both her husband, King Jehoram, and her son, King Uzziah. Now here's Pastor Rob with today's message.
Anointed Yehu as king over Israel and says, now this is what I want you to do. And I know this sounds a little hard to understand, but God has a reason. And sometimes when we continue in rebellion and sin and we've gone on so far, the hammer drops. And God is a God of grace, but there's a time where God exacts judgment. And this is one of those places. Because God had warned Ahab, even when he went against Ramoth-Gilead, to try and recover it for themselves. The land belonged to them, but God told him not to do it. But he did it anyway. He disobeyed God. And even though the land belonged to them, when God says don't go, there's a good reason. Just step back. It doesn't make sense. Because a natural man, you know, when God tells him, well, why not? You know, if you try to tell a kid don't touch the glowing thing on top of the stove, well, why not? And then sure enough, you take the macaroni and cheese off the thing and you go to drain it in the sink and your little child goes up and hits the, you know, because why not? He told me not to, but it looks fun. And he gets burned. But God had warned Ahab through Elijah and Elisha that calamity was coming. And this man, Yehu, God was going to anoint to root out everyone from Ahab's family and the Baal worship that had been occurring in the northern tribes. And that's why God told Ahab, or told Yehu to do it. But going back in history just a little bit here, through Elijah the prophet in 1 Kings chapter 21, notice what God says concerning Ahab, because his kingdom was so evil and because he was so evil. It says, behold, I will bring calamity on you, Ahab, your family. I will take away your posterity, and I will cut off from Ahab every male in Israel, both bond and free. I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger and made Israel sin. And concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. But there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up, and he behaved very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So it's because of this idolatry that God was going to raise up this man, Yehu. And to see this, what God had told Yehu to do, to come against the king of the northern 10 tribes, and now you have, you know, Ahaziah joining forces with Jehoram up in Israel, And now God has called Jehu to root out Ahab and everybody who belongs to him. And doesn't Ahaziah, isn't he now part of the family? Because he married Athaliah, right? Through the ministry of Elisha. After Elijah passed from the scene, Elisha, it says that when one of the sons of the prophets under Elisha arose and went into the house, and he poured oil on Jehu's head, and he said to him, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed you king over the people of the Lord, over Israel. And here's the command that God wanted Jehu to accomplish. You shall strike down the house of Ahab, your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab all the males in Israel, both bond and free. And so I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. The dogs shall eat Jezebel on the plot of ground at Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door, and he fled." And these were horrible things that would occur on the household of Ahab. In 2 Kings, we see that Jehu executes that judgment. He actually follows through with it. We don't see it in Chronicles because 2 Kings chapter 10 tells us in that chapter all that Jehu did to do what God had told him to do. And what did he do? Well, he slew Ahab's 70 sons, and he slaughtered Ahaziah's 42 brothers. He slaughtered the rest of Ahab's family, and he killed all of the worshipers of Baal. And we're going to see that even next week that Athaliah, what her fate is going to be as well. And again, Galatians 6 verse 7, what does it say? "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." And so now we're seeing the hammer of judgment falling, and God is going to use one man to bring that judgment upon Ahab's home and everybody in it, and even Ahaziah, because everyone there got so tainted with his affinity with the house of Ahab, and certainly Ahaziah is going to have a pretty bad end here too. Notice in verse 9, "Then Jehu searched for Ahaziah," after he'd done all this killing at God's bidding. Again, that's a little weird, but this is what the Bible says. And God has a right to judge sin, doesn't he? And can I just say this? I feel compelled to say this because whenever I read passages like this, I can already hear the naysayers say, "Well, I thought God was a God of love." Yes, he is. He's also a God, he chastens those whom he loves, but he also chastens and brings judgment upon those who reach a point, and only God knows where that point is. And the Jews weren't exempt from this either. I mean, think about what God did to his own people. He used his own people to come in and judge the Canaanites, to wipe out everyone in Canaan when they came out of Egypt. And then what happened several hundred years later? God used another nation, Assyria and Babylon, at different times, and came against his people to chasten them of their sins. So God is not a respecter of persons. He will use whatever he's got to do to get the attention of people. And those who turned and repented lived. And those who continued in their idolatry, they perished. God makes those rules, and he's the perfect judge. The Supreme Court has no sway over God, but I can tell you that God is fair in all that he does. He's just in all that he does. And when he does something, there's very good reason for him doing it. And we don't have to question him. Although we do. Does anybody question God? "Lord, why'd you allow that to happen?" Well, there are multiple reasons why that might have happened. In verse 8 it says, "And it happened when Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab," again, see Kings chapter 10, "he found the princes of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's brothers who served Ahaziah, that he killed them. And then he searched for Ahaziah, and they caught him. He was hiding in Samaria, which is the capital city of the northern 10 tribes. And they brought him to Jehu. And when they had killed him, they buried him, because, they said, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all of his heart. So the house of Ahaziah had no one to assume power over the kingdom. Notice the reverence that Jehu had for Ahaziah's grandfather, Jehoshaphat. You know, they buried him. They buried him properly because his grandfather was Jehoshaphat. Jehu, you know, following God at this time, Jehu was following orders. And God was pleased with what he was doing. Now, we're going to see later on that Jehu, he takes a turn to the left as well. And he gets into idolatry, believe it or not, later on in his reign. But he did what God had asked him. And we're going to see something really interesting here shortly, and then we'll close up. But surprisingly, Jehu would fall into sin, but the Lord had made a promise to him because he executed judgment on Ahab and Baal worship that was prevalent in the northern 10 tribes. In fact, in 2 Kings chapter 10, it says, "However, Jehu did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel to sin." That is, from the golden calves that were at Bethel and Dan. Remember, Jeroboam had set these two worshiping places, one in Dan up in the north and another one in Bethel in the southern part of Israel's land there. And the Lord said to Jehu, "Because you have done well in doing what is right in my sight and have done to the house of Ahab all that was in my heart, your son shall sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation." Notice God, knowing his idolatry, he also rewarded him by allowing his sons to sit on his throne for four generations. But that's all he got. But it says, "But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all of his heart, for he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, who had made Israel to sin." Isn't that kind of crazy? Why would a man go against Baal worship and be so adamant and do all those things and then ultimately to turn and go, you know, and get into idolatry again? But you know, that isn't that the human heart? It's fickle. One minute we can be right on, and the next thing we could be doing something really heinous. And, you know, for those who are not walking with the Lord, that can happen. And he certainly was not walking with the Lord at that time, and so he was vulnerable to temptations and certainly being influenced by evil beings, demons, Satan. And so are we, aren't we? You ever been tempted? We all have. But notice verse 10, "Then when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and she destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah." And again, this seems to be a common practice for evil people. And she reigned from 841 to 835 BC, a total of 7 years. But really what this was a satanic plot to destroy the line of Judah, and was almost successful. Do you realize how by a thread, God's promises that he had made to David was hanging by a thread? And we'll look at more of this next week, but the line of Judah was almost snuffed out. Almost. And Herod the Great did the similar thing to the line of Judah. And all of this is satanic. The same author who was encouraging Athaliah will also be the same being that would inspire Herod the Great. Remember what happened in Matthew 2, that Herod the Great, when he heard about that the child should be around 2 years of age, the baby Jesus, what did he do? He had all the kids from 2 years old killed. Remember that? That's called a satanic plot to wipe out God's promise. But can God's promise be thwarted? I think not. And I am right. You know why? Because the Bible tells me so. And God cannot be thwarted. He wasn't wringing his hands. We're going to see by the action of one young lady, she spoke. spared one of the seed of Ahaziah. And we're going to look at him next week. But one young man who wasn't in the line of fire for Athaliah, this wife of Jehoiada the priest, she grabbed the youngest son and hid him away. Because if Athaliah would have gotten to him and killed him, it would have thwarted God's plan. But God's plan can't be thwarted. But Jehoshabeah, her name is actually Jehosheba, as it tells us in 2 Kings 11, verses 2 and 3. It's just a different spelling of her name. But she was the daughter of the king, and she took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. And so Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, she hid him from Athaliah so that she did not kill him, and he was hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. And as I was reading this today, something just kind of popped in my head. I love types in the Bible, and sometimes types are meant to be there, and I don't know if this was supposed to be there or not, but there's a type here I'd like to share with you. And that is, I think of many of you, as we've been going through and talking about Matthew 24 and 25, we've talked a lot about end times, we've talked about the Antichrist. And as I began to read this passage, really from, verses 10 down through 12, it reminded me of something. And I'm going to share it with you, something to think about. Athaliah is sort of like a type of the Antichrist. And Joash being hidden away while Athaliah is reigning, it reminds me of Christ ascended into heaven while the Antichrist is reigning on the earth. But there's coming a point that Joash is going to come back on the scene and Athaliah is going to be destroyed. And it's very similar to when Jesus comes back in his second coming to the earth, that the Antichrist will be destroyed and he will be sent to the lake of fire. A similar type there. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? But for all of Satan's cunning, he will not be victorious, and the redemptive plan of God will not be thwarted. True is the scripture in Genesis chapter 3. Do you remember Genesis chapter 3? When God began to, after Adam and Eve had fallen, God began to call out curses upon the man, upon the woman, and upon the serpent, Satan. And when he got to Satan, notice what he said to him. He says, "And I will put enmity or hatred between you and the woman and between your seed, Satan," meaning your demons, your seed, "and her seed." Notice the word seed is capitalized. That's actually in the translation. It's trying to tell us something, that the seed of the woman. Now, isn't this kind of weird? Let me just go through this with you. Think about it. Is there a hint here at the virgin birth? There is. You know why? Because the seed comes from a man, not the woman. But it says the seed of the woman, which means that man, Joseph, had nothing to do with Jesus' birth. The Spirit of God impregnated Mary. The seed of the woman. Because there was no sperm. It was the seed. There was no egg. It was the seed of the woman, which is kind of a contradiction in terms. Women don't have seed. They have eggs. I mean, we don't have to have a health lesson here, but we all know what this means, right? But notice this. This is the thing I really wanted to get to. And he says, "And he," meaning the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, "he shall bruise your head." The word is crush. He's going to crush your head, and you, Satan, shall bruise his heel. Bruise his heel is Jesus Christ. You're going to bruise his heel. When you get a bruise on your heel, it's an inconvenience, and it can be, you know, difficult, but a crushing of the head is something entirely different. So who wins? Jesus wins. He's ultimately going to crush Satan. And do you think that in the garden, Satan knew what God had told him? You're going to be an inconvenience to my plan, but ultimately you're going to be crushed. The seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, is going to destroy you. And from that moment on, Satan was bent. Just like with Athaliah, just like with Haman in the book of Esther, just like with Herod trying to destroy the seed of Judah, trying to destroy the promise of God. And Athaliah here almost came so close, this woman who was a type of the Antichrist. I see it that way anyway. Isn't that crazy? And so be encouraged by the word of God. You know, as you read it and you start, the more you read it, the more you understand, and the whole thing just kind of comes together. It becomes like one book, which I don't know if you know it, but it is. It's one book. Old and New Testament. Right? So be encouraged. There's a lot of lessons, you know, we can learn from these things. Just human nature, you know, just looking at people. You know, people really haven't changed. Ever since the beginning of the garden, we are all the same. And yet God is the same. And God treats us the same. And God loves us. And he's given us a way to him. And have you made that decision to come and give your heart to Christ? If you haven't, I invite you to do it tonight. You can come on up afterwards. I'll be glad to pray with you. But you need to know Jesus, because he's the only one who truly, truly loves you. And for those of us who have given our hearts to him and are born again, we'll never see his wrath. Do you know that? Because the wrath has already been taken out on his son, Christ. We will never see the wrath of God. But for those who have rejected Christ, and if they continue in that way until they take their last breath, they will face the wrath of God. That's all that's left. He'd much rather pour out his love and grace upon us. But we make that choice. It's kind of a scary decision, isn't it? It's kind of an important decision. It's a decision that will affect your eternity, right? So choose Christ. Choose Jesus. Amen? Let's stand together. Lord, we thank you for your word. And again, Lord, these things are very sobering to us. Lord, as we see how you deal with mankind, even throughout the ages, through the different dispensations with Israel and the church and what's coming, Lord, we see these things. And Lord, thank you for your love for us, Lord. And thank you for your kindness. Thank you that when we do go astray, you chasten us, Lord, and you do it for our benefit, that we would fall back in line with you and that we would confess our sin and be restored and move onward with you. And so, Lord, have your way with us tonight, Lord, and just cleanse our hearts, Lord. We live in an evil world. And, Lord, everywhere we go, we're being defiled by the things all around us, Lord. So please help us. Cleanse us, Lord, by the washing of water, by the word. And help us, Lord, just to be obedient to you, regardless of what anybody says or thinks, to be obedient to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless. Have a good night.
That's the end of our study today, but please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues our study in the book of 2 Chronicles. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.